And my name is Lyle Kelsall, minister of the gospel. My name is Lyle, and I'm a minister of the gospel. I thank God for being here today. I thank God for being anywhere today. If you live the life I've lived and see some of the things I've seen, then you thank God for even being alive to be able to be anywhere to see something. And I'm a different kind of a minister. I'm based on reality. Because my life was so dishonest. My life was so dishonest that when God brought me some truth, I've learned to grip the truth. And then I struggled with a lot of things when I first came around on groups like this and first came around church. I struggled because I didn't know how. I just didn't know how. See, so I will never argue with a person's desire. Because there's the truth of the matter, there's somebody here tonight that has a desire to live right. But yet not knowing how to surrender as going to go through more heartache and pain through this addiction. But the good news is, the whole shot is, don't have to be you. It doesn't have to be you. I'm going to read something. I'll read a passage of scripture here. It says, and I'm reading from 1 Samuel, 3rd chapter, starting at the 4th verse. And you don't have to try to follow me because I'm going to be moving too fast for you to keep up like that. That the Lord called Samuel, and he answered, here am I, and he ran unto Eli. Samuel was given to Eli so that Eli could raise him and minister to him. Eli was a priest. He was a man of God. He was a priest. And so Eli, the child, or Samuel, the child, was given to him. And the Bible speaks of Samuel as God's first prophet. Even though it was Moses and those people, for some reason the Bible said God, Samuel was his first prophet. But anyway, so that's how he got under Eli. But it says, that the Lord called Samuel, and he answered, here am I, and he ran unto Eli. And he said, here am I, for thou callest me. And he said, I called not. Lie down again. And he went to lay down. And the Lord yet again, Samuel. And Samuel arose and went to Eli and said, here am I, for thou didst call me. And he answered, I call not, my son. Lie down again. Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, neither was the word of the Lord yet revealed unto him. And the Lord called Samuel again the third time, and he arose and went to Eli and said, here am I, for thou didst call me. And Eli perceived that the Lord had called the child. He said, therefore Eli said unto Samuel, go lie down, and it shall be, if he call thee, that thou shalt speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. So Samuel went and lay down in his place. And the Lord came and stood and called at other times, Samuel, Samuel. Then Samuel answered, speak, for thy servant heareth. Father God, in the name of Jesus, I thank you, Lord, for giving the opportunity tonight, Lord, to be used by you, actually to form these lips of clay, Father God, Lord, that you would send a message to your people, Father God. Ask that you help me to decrease, Father God, that you would increase. And let me get out of the way. In Jesus' name I pray. Thank God. As always, I got a question. Who's calling you? I got a question for you. Who's calling you?
Jesus.
The first time I came around years ago, see, I've got a little over 7 years clean, but I could have 27 years clean if I hadn't stayed around and understood something. And see, God is telling me that, Lyle, you're not the only one that struggled in that way. And that's why I share some of the things I share, because I share the things that I struggle with. And here's one of the things I struggle with. See, because, like when I met Marvin a long time ago. I met this young man 47 years ago. But I wanted to get myself together and I wanted to come around and God was calling me, I didn't understand that it was God calling me. So I thought I had to show up for Marvin. I thought I had to show up for Charlie. See, so what I would do is, I would live right in front of Marvin. And I would live right in front of Charlie. But what about when I'm by myself? What about when nobody's looking? What about when I go back to the cabin? What about those times? See, because I didn't know how. Because just like Eli, just like Samuel's, Eli was a priest and he ministered unto Samuel. He ministered unto me day after day. He was teaching the young man. He was teaching him and leading him and showing him. Samuel got so used to seeing his face that he put him in the place of God. He put Eli in the place of God. Eli was a God to him. It doesn't just say that, but that's what's going on, because every time God called, he ran to Eli. See, there's people in here that's got a little age, and God called you a long time ago, and you know it. God called me a long time ago, but I'm going to answer to my mom. I'm going to answer to my boss. I'm going to answer to the preacher, because I didn't know. I'd be sitting right there in church looking at the wrong things and the wrong people. Now, see, this is going to be a twofold message tonight, because people are important. But we got to first understand who the calling is coming from. See, because here's what I do understand. I can live right in front of Charlie and make a fool of myself in front of God. But if I live right in front of God, then I'll live right in front of Charlie. See, I had to get some understanding of who God was. See, just like you, I got saved and I went to jail. And I used to sit in my room and read. And I would sit there, they called breakfast. You know, every morning everybody gets up, they pop the doors, I'd go stand out, get the roll call in, I'd go back in and close the door and tell them, Bucky, you have the breakfast. See, because the natural food wasn't what I needed then. I was hungry. But I was hungry, and it took me a long time to get there. I didn't get it at 25. I didn't get it at 30. I didn't get it at 40. I was long in the tooth when I finally began to understand what it was. But I thank God that then I would go in my room and close my door and lock myself in, and I would begin to read. See, because I wanted to hear from God. See, because I knew what the preacher had to say. I knew what Charlie had to say. I knew what my mom had to say. But I wanted to hear from God for me. My prayer was, God, why don't you do for me what you did for my mother? You know, God, why don't you do for me what you did for my sister? Because I watched them change. You know, I watched my mother when I was a kid carry a pistol everywhere she went. I watched my mother when she'd have her purse on her shoulder and her pistol in her pocket with her hand in her pocket. And she's walking us down the street with her, because if a dog or something came running out, he was through. See, and so I thought this was the way to live, because my mother took me to church. My mother took me to church with her pistol in her pocket. So I'm thinking this is just normal. But one day my mom came to me. She had met this little old preacher. And she started talking funny, talking different. Looked the same, almost, but she was talking different. And she came to me and gave me the pistol. She said, do something with this, because I don't need it anymore. Now, that was wrong, and that was right. The right thing is, she didn't need that thing anymore. And as she got mature in the Lord, I'm sure if she had, the time she had been mature in the Lord, she would have never gave me that pistol knowing who I was. You understand what I'm saying? Exactly. She would have never gave me that pistol if she had been mature. But what I'm trying to tell you is, when you're young in the Lord, my mother's been saved now 40-some years. You go into the prisons and some everywhere and do some everything. But what I'm trying to say is, you're going to think some things and not understand some things, and you're going to make some mistakes. But that doesn't make you not saved. But the thing is, you got to understand who's calling you first. See, because I don't care if nobody's looking. I want to be right before God. I have learned to go home by myself and be comfortable in my own skin. It's something I couldn't do 20 years ago. Something I couldn't do 10 years ago. I'd have to call somebody. I'd have to be riding up and down the boulevard. I'd have to be walking up and down the boulevard. I'd have to be doing something, because I just wasn't comfortable with me. Today I'm comfortable because I understand who God is in my life. So by saying that, I want to switch over just a little bit. Because what I'm saying is, we need people. We need each other. The Bible says in Proverbs 17:17, it says, iron sharpens iron. One brother sharpens the countenance of another brother. And for some of you people who ever sharpen a knife, you don't sharpen it like this. Anybody see a knife get sharp? Are you doing like this with it? You got to put some power, you got to put some grip on that. So sometimes you're going to debate with each other, because you don't know. And if your soul is hungry, you want to be right. See, but I've learned something. I don't want to be right in as much as have the right answer. And I want to be right. I want to get it right. So I don't have a problem. We go to Bible study on Sunday morning. And so you can hear us on the parking lot. You know, because there's men passionate for Christ. There's men in there really trying to get together. There's men in there really don't want to go back to yesterday. And see, we're not ashamed of telling the hard issues. So I sat down at lunch with Marvin and a couple other people last week, and I told them a hard issue in my life that I don't really tell people. I didn't want to tell, but I needed. I trust Marvin. See, first off, I see the power of God in Marvin. I see the Spirit of God, so I can trust that in Marvin. See, because I don't want to be the same old fool I used to be, and I don't want to make the same old mistakes. You know, it's only by the grace of God that I even made it all these years. Shouldn't have made it. So what I'm trying to tell you is we need each other. Then you hear people say this, and this really hurts my soul when people say this. I don't really need to go to church. Oh, I can read the Bible at home by myself. How many people have heard somebody say that? How many people have said that? That was me. But I understand today why I did it. I did it because I didn't want to be accountable. I didn't want to be accountable. Let me ask you a question. You're about to go do surgery. Get your appendix out. They say, well, we got two doctors that will give you the operation. We pay for it. This doctor read a book by himself. This doctor went to Harvard. Which doctor are you going to take? He studied under other doctors. He read a book. Which doctor are you going to take? This brother here, awesome mechanic. I've been doing it for years. His dad's awesome mechanic. You can give me all the tools he has. He can give me every tool in his shop, and I cannot fix a car. We don't utilize each other the way we should. Marvin, how many times you gave somebody your number and they said, well, I'm going to call you, Marvin. You ever get that call? You never get that call. And then you see that person 3 months later in a blue jumpsuit. And you don't get mad. You don't have any hatred or disdainment. But you grit your teeth a little bit. If only. If only. You did the right thing tonight. You put it out there. And because he put it out there, God is in the atmosphere. Somebody's going to move.
Yeah, he'll help you.
Somebody's getting ready to help you. Someone's going to call you. Someone's going to step up. You're not going to have to go back to where you came from. Yeah. All we have to do is be honest and be real. You just got to be honest. I preach in here about being perfect. I'm not perfect in the eyes of man by no stretch of the imagination. Because anytime you don't do what someone expects you to do, then you're wrong. Something's wrong with you. But in the eyes of God, I do the best I know how. And when I realize I've done wrong, God forgive me. And I repent and go back. And we say that all I need is Jesus. All I need is God. I remember sitting in the jail, and I told this story in here before, I believe, reading in my room. And God told me, in the morning, start a Bible study. Now, I used to run with the gangs on the street. I was a dope fiend. I was through all those things. You know, and I had a little reputation and those kind of things. So, and some of the guys I knew were in the block. So I look out that door when it's time. He said, 9 o'clock, start a Bible study. I look out that door, peek around, and people are doing what they're doing, playing cards and watching TV, running, walking laps. You know the 3 or 4 things you can do in the county. I went out and I put some chairs together, set my Bible down, I stepped over the top of the rail and I hollered, Bible study! You know, and that block, it just echoed through the block. You know, my voice just kind of carried. Bible study! And I went and sat down. Not a soul came to that Bible study. Not one person. The enemy got in my head for just a second. I told you wasn't saved. I told you wasn't saved. Nobody will listen to you. Nobody will hang with you. Don't nobody believe you. That's what his job is. In Narcotics Anonymous, they got a saying that an addict alone is in bad company. And so what I did, you know, I said, well, I folded my stuff. I sat there and I read for an hour, put my stuff up, went back in my room. And for a moment, that shame, you know, it just felt shame for me, just embarrassed for a few minutes. Nobody showed up. So next morning, I'm getting up, I'm reading, and God said, it's time for Bible study. You know, who are you talking to? He said, it's time for Bible study. Man, am I some type of masochist? Am I going to keep going out here going through humiliation? You know, that loud counselor. You know, this is my talk in my head. But I knew one thing. I didn't know who was going to show up. But I know I didn't want to go back to where I used to be. I knew, so no matter what it took that he asked me to do, I was going to get into it. I was not going to go back to where I used to be. It didn't matter what much time I spent in that jail or prison. Whatever God asked me to do, I didn't care who laughed. I don't care who made fun of me. None of that made a difference. I was not going back to yesterday. I mean, I was so bad out there when I was on dope fiend. You could smell my feet through my shoes. I had a pair of Reeboks that the RE fell off. All I had was a pair of Box. You know what I mean? So you wasn't laughing at me then. But I'm not going to be afraid, not to be ashamed. And it's hard for young men. It's hard for young men because you start looking over your shoulder. But I got up. I got my Bible. Put your chairs around. Bible study. And I hollered again. All of a sudden, here come three brothers up the stairs with the Bible. And in them 7 months I stayed in that jail, I don't know how many brothers gave their life to God. I don't know how many guys with their faces light sat around that circle and just cried and prayed and opened up. See, because I had to understand something. It was never about me from the start. It wasn't my Bible study. So I had to learn something. I had to put God, I had to do like Moses and put God back and call him on his stuff. I said, God, this isn't my Bible study. You told me to call it. If nobody shows up, they're laughing at you, God, not me. But I'm going to do what you asked me to do. See, because I read the Bible. I read the Old Testament. How silly would I have been not to go out and call it that second day. After Abraham got up, when God said, get up, leave your country, leave your family, leave your kindred, and go to a place I will show you. How many can go in here and tell their wife, baby, we moving? She said, where are we going? I don't know. And think she's going to follow. How could I not get up and go out that next day and call Bible study when I remember Noah building an ark in a place where it never rained? He built an ark for 120 years. He didn't have power tools. He didn't have sawzalls. He didn't have drills. He didn't have treated lumber from Lowe's. How silly would I have been not to trust God for 2 days? See, we read those stories and we look over them and we don't even realize the magnitude of what these people did. We look back and say, oh, he was a great man. No, he's a man just like you and me. He was a man just like you and me with fears. He was a man like you and me with more questions than answers. He was a man like you and me who had to feel some, in them 120 years, he had to feel some frustration. He had to feel some, want to give up in it. Your neighbors laughed at you. Look at that fool calling your names. And then I can imagine his wife being the teasing his wife, the teasing the kids. You know, kids are cruel. I can imagine kids coming home crying. And, you know, hey, what's wrong with you, boy? They ain't calling you a fool, Dad. You know what I mean? And then I can imagine his wife, Noah, you ought to leave that alone. You ought to leave that alone because you've been doing it now for 10 years. And when 50 years came, now you got to head down. No, I told you 40 years ago to leave that alone. Huh? 100 years go by, now I shouldn't even say nothing. Just give them that look. It's going to happen to you. It happened to me. But we have to get to the point where nothing else matters. See, because them men knew they heard from God. They knew they heard from God and nothing else mattered. When you are in the presence of God, you can't be wrong if you're all by yourself. The Bible says, Enoch walked with God. And then he was no more. Who would have that testimony? Who would love to have that testimony? Who would love to have that testimony? But in all those years, how much time were they making fun of him? How much time did they call him a fool and say the different things about him? But he never turned. He never turned. He was faithful. What about you? What happens tomorrow? You go down to the house of rest and they say, you know, we made a mistake. You're not supposed to get off this date. You get off 3 weeks later. Now what? Or you go to class and they tell you, they go to meet with the college. Oh, we've been looking at your pack and we think you ought to take this anger management class because you used to be a gangbanger and we think we'll help you. It's only going to cost you $25 a week. Then you begin to get back into yourself. I know what happened to me. I began to get back into myself. Then the old anger wants to kick in. See, because I was a pretty good fighter and back in the day. And so I thought that answered all questions. I thought that answered all questions. You know, I tell you what you do. Punk, get up. You know, that has cost me so much in my life. Because nobody's going to shame me. Nobody's going to embarrass me. You ain't going to punk me out. I punked myself out. Running down through the street. 45 pounds underweight, stinking man like a garbage can, begging, stealing, getting chased down the street. I was getting chased down the street one time. All the good fighting I had in me. Some kid was chasing me down the street. See, I'd gone that dope, and that dope had substituted everything I really believed, and I had stole $40 from this kid, $50 from this kid, and the kid got behind me. I took off running. Only thing made me stop running is I seen a friend of mine. He looked at me like this here. Wow! And so I stopped. I stopped and turned around. The kid turned around and ran. But I'm not saying that other than any other thing than I couldn't have shamed myself any more than I did. I hear people lie on me today about stuff. And I tell them, why are you telling lies? Just tell the truth. My story was horrible. Just tell the truth. You know what I mean? But if I can be a fool for those streets. The same warrior I was for those streets, that's the same warrior I am for God today. See, there's things in my life. The Bible said there are a way that seems right unto a man, but in the end leads to destruction, leads to death. You know, and I talked to him about a situation that was leading me to death, but it sure seemed right in my eyes. It sure seemed right in my eyes. And see, I can fix up anything to be right with me. I can, you know, I'm going to tell you how I can read the Bible. Give you an example. Give you an example. When it said the woman was caught in adultery, and they brought her to Jesus and said, hey, let's stone her because she's been caught in adultery. You know what I got out of that story? This is what a dope means, that still wants to be a dope means, gets out of that story. Well, it must be all right for the man to commit adultery because they didn't bring him, so I must not be important to Jesus. I get out of it. See, because I didn't read the Bible looking for answers. I read the Bible trying to fit my life or make it fit my life so I could still be okay doing what I was doing. I had to get to the point that I understood in my life that there is a God and I'm not him. And then I had to get to another point after I got that. Because when I got to that point, Marvin, I became so legalistic. I became a Pharisee. Nobody wanted to be around me. My first 2 years of being saved, you better not smoke a cigarette around me. You better not sniff and cuss around me. You better not go get two trays out the window around me. You know how you ever been there? I'm sitting in penitentiary dude doing life, and I'm mad at him because he's getting two trays out the window. Yeah, this is what I became because I didn't understand this part of it yet. So you're going to go through stages. When God saves you, every time God says somebody, every time Jesus heals somebody in the Bible, the next phrase said, immediately he was healed. So when he saved you, you were saved immediately. But now you got to learn to walk in your deliverance. Because when you're right-handed, you're still right-handed. If you're going to use left-handed, you got to learn. So I had to learn that I needed people, that I couldn't do it by myself. About 3.5 years into being saved, I started getting friends. Because I quit beating down people. Because everybody's not where I'm at. Everybody's not where I'm at. And we need people. I'm going to share another scripture real quick. And then we'll close. You know, this little boy asked his grandmother one time in church. She said, Mom, he said, Grandma, what does it mean when the preacher say, I'm about to close? She looked at him and said, nothing. Absolutely nothing. I'm not going to be that way. We're going to close in a minute. But I'm going to show you that we need each other. See, we say Jesus can do it. Jesus can do it. Yeah, and he can. Now, this is Lazarus in the grave. Lazarus dead in the grave. And Jesus went to get him up. Who was getting him up? We all know Jesus was getting him up. But in the getting up, that wasn't all required. In being saved, that wasn't us. That's not all required of you. Being saved, they get you in, but you have to learn to live here because you got a purpose. You got a purpose. The Great Commission says, therefore, go out into the highways and byways, teaching and preaching and baptizing in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Making disciples of all nations. You got a job to do. Somebody's hurting. Somebody's hurt like you was hurting. See, I know what it's like to hurt and be afraid and can't tell nobody. See, he's seen me meet up a lot of people in the years. I couldn't tell him I'm afraid because I had a reputation, I had a foolish reputation to keep. But let me show you something. When Jesus went to get Lazarus up, and he said, where have you laid him? They said, unto him, Lord, come and see. Jesus wept and said, no, I'm going out of it. Jesus said, Jesus therefore again groaning in himself, coming to the grave. It was a cave and a stone lay upon it. Jesus says, take away the stone. Now he could have spoke the stone away. I believe in my heart he could have spoke a word and it would have crumbled down in the dust. But he wanted us to do something. He wanted us to be in part of this. He said, take away the stone. Jesus was standing to take away the stone. And Martha said to him that was dead, said unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he had been dead for 4 days. Jesus said unto her, said I not unto thee, that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldst see the glory of God. Then they took away the stone from the place. Who took away the stone? We did. We took away the stone. Jesus didn't have to do that part. We worked side by side with Jesus. We worked for him. We took away the stone. And Jesus lifted his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. And I knew that thou hearest me always. But because of the people that would stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. And when he thus had spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And that was dead came forth. Now listen how he came forth. He came forth the same way we came forth. He came forth the same way we came forth. Bound hand and foot with grave clothes. And his face was bound about with a napkin. Jesus said unto him, loose him and let him go. See, the day I got saved, I was still a liar. The day I got saved, I was still a thief. The day I got saved, I just got through smoking the day before. The day I got saved, I still knew what it was like to be with two girls in the hotel. The day I got saved, I still knew what it was like to be a gangbanger. The tattoo on my arm didn't go away. But my heart had changed. And I needed the Marvins. I needed the Carls. I needed the Bens. I needed the Charlies to walk with me. And my prayer was, God, send me a man to take me by the hand. See, because I had a lot of pride. Couldn't nobody tell me nothing. I knew everything. But my prayer was, God, take me by the hand. Send me a man to take me by the hand and walk me through this. And I began to do that, and I took my time. And I took my time. And I asked the stupidest questions. I asked the dumbest questions you could think of. I asked the most embarrassing questions you could think of. You know why? And that big bottle of water, if I throw 3 or 4 pieces of dust in that water, it's still dust in that water. I didn't want no dust in my water. I wanted to get it right. So I'm one of those people that believe you can be perfect in the eyes of God. Because all that means is to be mature and available for him to use you. I like I said, I make stupid moves. I make stupid mistakes. Sometimes I make stupid decisions. But I'm always available when God calls me. And I'm always willing to say, hey, I'm sorry. And do something different. And I want to challenge everybody tonight. Use one another. Learn how to use each other. And when I say use each other, I don't mean take advantage. See, my idea at first was that people like Marvin was Santa Claus. That I can call him and get stuff in the middle of the night. People like Ben, hey Ben, you know what, man? My rent's due. Can I get $25? David said this. And I'm going to shut up. David said, I was young, but now I'm old. He said, but never have I seen the righteous forsaken or the seed begging bread. So why are you begging bread? Why do you have to beg bread? All you have to do is put your hand in the hand of God and start walking right. Walk in your deliverance. And when you can't walk by yourself, tell somebody, give me by the hand and help me. When nobody there with you, just stand and be still and hold on and see the salvation of God. I thank you for letting me speak tonight. God bless you.